Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios in beautiful downtown Edwardsville, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 3, show number 10, recorded Monday, April 11th, 2022. Thanks to partners Cassens, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams, Marquis, Jeb, and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Front Office Fiduciary Network, Oak Brook Golf Club, and Rosenthal License and Title Services. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Light. Show number 10 features Dan
Cruz. Yeah, I'm here.
The Cruiser.
Yeah, there you go.
Dan Cruz, sports photographer. Claire Christensen, the charitable champion of the month, along with Julie Fleck from Front Office Fiduciary Network. And guest number 3, Coach Tavares Young from Madison Track and Field. And he's bringing Carlos Wilson Jr. with him. Dan, you good tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for having me. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts in the past and know a lot of the people that you had on this podcast.
Well, who were some of the folks that you've shot? Well, let's start off with who you are. Who are you?
I grew up in Alton, graduated from Alton High School in 1980, played baseball and basketball. Played with some superior basketball players in Troy Washburn and John Maine Smith. And in baseball, played with Dick Lyons and Robert Hopkins, whose field's named after out there at Gordon Moore, his uncle. So
you were kind
of
like an all-sports jock at Alton High School as a kid.
You know what? I grew up playing outdoor sports a lot. You know, back then we didn't have cell phones or any type of media to play with, so all of these kids were just outside. I mean, I really remember a time we would shovel the snow off during the winter and just get out and shoot baskets because we were just that much of an outdoor gym rat.
Loved it.
Say. Yeah.
All right. Before we get to you and your whole story, I'm going to ask you folks 3 things you can do to help. Number 1, subscribe to this podcast. You love it and it's free. And number 2, follow us on all of our social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube. And number 3, if you have a story idea, email me at mespdave@gmail.com. And remember, you can nominate your favorite team for Integrity Spine and Joint Center Metro East Team of the Month. Could be a park and rec team, could be a middle school team, a high school team, you name it. To nominate a team of the month, send your suggestion to mespdave@gmail.com. Please put team of the month in the subject line. All right, Dan. So you didn't just become a sports photographer extraordinaire overnight. It goes back to you falling in love with sports as a kid growing up in Alton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime I had the opportunity to go outside and play any type of sport, I was there. And I really didn't get into photography until I was building websites. I had gone back to school in 2000 at Webster University, and each time I had built a website, I needed to take pictures. That kind of died off, and I still wanted to take pictures, though, because my love for sports and photography just felt one in one, and I just continued that from that time forward.
So what were the sports that you were shooting first, and what were the websites that you were building?
A lot of the websites were in the Alton area, Alton Little Theater, Duggar Pools in Bethalto. I did a lot of other websites for people who had just small businesses mainly. But after a few years, everybody was building websites, and so that's why it kind of fell off. There wasn't that much interest in people having to pay me to build websites, so but I still wanted to keep taking pictures. So because I live in Bethalto, you know, I had no formal training taking pictures. I had my original camera here with me, as you saw.
Yeah.
It's 2.0 megapixels. Back then, people thought you were the bomb. I don't know if kids still say that, but that's what I was using to take pictures. And I would just go out and take pictures of really mostly basketball, soccer, baseball and football. And then nobody was paying me to go out. I would just show up at these events and just start taking pictures.
Mostly Alton High or CM?
All CM. Never really did go outside of the Bethalto area because it was just close to home for me. And since then, yeah, I broadened my expansion of who I'm taking pictures of.
Okay, and who are you taking pictures for professionally now?
Right now, it's basically all CM. I've gained a lot of, I don't want to say fame, but everybody knows me in Bethalto. I've covered so many kids over the past at least 12 years now, from basketball, football, baseball, golf, just about every sport that they have there, primarily basketball, the girls' basketball especially.
Well, the girls' basketball has been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Allie Treckler, who you've had on this podcast, when she was a freshman.
Yep.
And I followed her all the way through to her last year this past year at SAOE.
We've got Claire Christensen tonight.
Oh, yeah. Claire, she's a go-getter on the basketball court. I love watching her play. She's the one girl that I always knew I can get an expression off of. She was always fierce-looking after a rebound or taking a shot or just showing some type of emotion out on the court. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be guarding her.
Hmm. Kelby Zupan coming up in a couple weeks also. And we've had Hannah Miser on the show. And we've had Coach Arb on the show. Oh, I feel like we've had a lot of CM girls basketball coverage.
Yeah, I've got a lot of pictures of every one of those people, especially Kelby and Hannah. Hannah, you know, she's an outstanding cross-country runner, and that's her primary sport. And she plays great on the court in basketball, too. I just don't think she gets enough recognition. But I always tell her when I see her, you know, how great I am for her being on the team and how well she played.
Mm. What about we also had Tori Stanifer.
Tori, yeah. Yeah, I covered Tori primarily when she was in her last 3 years because, you know, she was hurt with her torn ACL amongst a bunch of other CM girls. I haven't had an opportunity to go over to UMSL where she's playing right now, but I know that's where Claire's going too. So they're going to be teammates again next year.
Okay, so what's it take to take a great sports photo?
Well, you know, I've learned, we'll talk about basketball. A while back, I had the opportunity to shoot the Arch Madness basketball games. That's when I really got into it and learned a lot from Paul Balarjan and Paul Hafaker and Jimmy Simmons and those guys who were all taking pictures already before I was. And the one thing I'd learned is you do not, and this is for any photographer who wants to get into sports photography, you don't really want to sit underneath the basket. The best spot is out in the corner. That's where you get your best shots. And if you see any of these guys that I just mentioned, you'll see them sitting towards the corner. And I brought on my little apparatus that I sit on. It's an expandable chair that I sit on that pulls out. It looks like a little cone. And I take that with me, and I actually sit on it in the corner. I mean, I've had a lot of people come up to me and ask me where I bought it and how much it costs and how much weight people can sit on it. But it really
is. I'd say none of your damn business I can put on this stool.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, you're nicer than me.
So I also use that for soccer, too. I mean, I don't want to be sitting out there for, you know, that length period of time, you know. So, and plus, you know, and the other thing I wanted to mention, you know, for your young photographers, the best shots that you can get is when you're not just shooting directly onto a person. You know, you want to get like that 3D effect where you see part of the sky or the ceiling in a basketball court or, you know, when the person might be going up for a dunk or leaping for a ball. Those are the best shots, the best action spots that I could encourage anybody to take.
Paul Balarjan, whose name is really tough for me to say, but I think I just did a pretty good job of it. Anyway, Paul Balarjan, I said, what do you want to say to people that they may not know? And he said, don't steal copyrighted pictures. He was emphatic about that.
Oh, that is very true. And, you know, anytime I post any pictures on Facebook, I always put my logo on it. And I kind of think that people accept that, you know, once you see my logo across my pictures, you probably shouldn't be printing them out. But, you know, I'll show up at these senior nights and I'll see my pictures with my logo on them and they printed them off. But there's the other side too. There's a lot of people that come to me and ask me if it's just one or two. Yeah, I'm good with that. But if it's like, you know, a dozen or more, no, I'd rather them buy them for my website.
Why couldn't they buy them from you even if it is just one or two? I mean, how much do you charge for one picture typically?
So my 4x6 prints are $4. My 5x7s are $10.
Come on, people.
8x10s are $20.
Come on, people. He's charging you $4, $10 for a picture, and he's doing it professionally.
Right.
If you're balking at that price, probably if somebody went to you and said, you know what? I've only got a few dollars. I'm really struggling financially. Could you help me out and work me a deal? Don't you? I'm sure you probably give a little help.
I've given away a lot of pictures too, and I've given a lot to the high school. I've gotten messages from the yearbook committee. Can we use some of your photos to put in the yearbook? And I say, yeah, that's not a problem.
All right. I want to hear more about your career, but first I want to talk about Keller Williams Marquis. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blasingame, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blasingames are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they're experts at staging and pricing, and they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blasingame a call at 618-578-9276 or check them out online at blasinggamegroup.com. You will not be disappointed. Okay, we're talking tonight with sports photographer, mainly in Bethalto, Dan Cruz. Is there one photo that you took that you would say, you know, if I'm going to give you my resume, this is my picture. This is the one that I hang my hat on professionally.
It'd probably be one of the basketball shots that I've got from one of the CM girls games. One of the other things I want to talk about before I get into that is, I look towards getting all the action shots. Those are great. I mean, every professional photographer, they want to get that one shot. Yeah, the guy dunking or diving for a ball. Just the other day, I took a really good shot of Luke Parmentier, the second baseman for CM. He was jumping up, leaping up in the air as a kid was sliding in second base. You know, those are typical good action shots. But because of my background, I also do more than just sports. You know, I do senior portraits and weddings also. So I'm trying to capture the grunt or the growl that the kids may be giving me, or even crying when they're coming off, like it's their last game ever and they're walking off, zoning in on their face. I mean, I've got so many pictures of tears coming down kids' faces that to me, those are the better shots than some of these action shots that some kids or some people take.
So you're looking for emotion more than
I am. And action. If you ask Bill Roseberry, he told me one time that if he put my pictures in a stack pile, he could pick out which ones I took because just the fact that I'm looking more the kids sitting on the benches or somebody up in the crowd or a ref that might be looking down at somebody. So it's not always just about taking the best action shot. You know, I try to capture everything, you know, the cheerleaders, you know, somebody just walking in through the crowd cheering, you know, those shots to me are just as important to submit to somebody than the action shots also.
I think what's amazing is if you start looking online, there are so many Dan Cruz photographers. How can people find you if they're interested in?
Go to Cruz and Designs Photography, and you'll find me. Yesterday, I did a gender reveal. Someone had asked me to take pictures of that, so I did that too. But my primary thing is sports photography. I mean, I could do this 24/7. I have not done every sport that's out there. I still like to do like field hockey. And you'll laugh at this one, but I've never shot a chess game.
Really?
I mean, if there's anything that has any type of competition, I want to be there, you know. I mean, if I don't care, I really don't even know how to play chess.
Not news.
And
like you don't want to shoot news. You don't want to shoot the fire, the
I've cop done that. Chase, the so back in 2010 is when I started at the Telegraph.
Right.
And I was doing kind of everything. And yeah, they would send me out. And there were some not so good things that I had to go shoot, but at least it got my name out there, and it kind of broadened my photography skills also.
Are you still shooting with the Telegraph?
No. I ended that probably around 2015, probably.
Okay.
And then I was down for about 6 months, and then Bill Roseberry, who was working at the Advantage, brought me in over there, and Steve Porter, who I called a legend, was working there also, and so they knew my background in sports photography, and so I joined them, and then until the Advantage didn't go away, it's still there, but they just don't do stories anymore.
Cool. What's the future of sports photography?
The future of sports photography?
Is it all new journalism? Is it going to be all kids recording for themselves?
No, I don't think so. I think there's always going to be a need for a professional photographer taking pictures like I do. There's only so many in the Riverbend area that people I know that are kind of like me. I know there's an individual here in Edwardsville, Rick Brewer. He shoots a lot of the Edwardsville high school stuff.
Right.
And Diane Cox, she shoots for Wood River. I just saw her the other day. I'm not really sure if there's anyone in Alton area that's really doing anything like I'm doing.
Is it different for you because you are so familiar with the school and the players and the team and the community that the kids and the coaches and the players, like, they have a rapport with you, that you're not just some guy taking pictures?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much I just show up in any event and just walk in. They all know me. I don't think I've paid any admission fee for any sporting event.
They know you're working.
Yeah, yeah. And I've also done a lot of outside stuff for the high school also, not just sports photography. So, yeah, I've got a good rapport with Todd Hannaford, the AD there, and Justin Newell, the principal. They all know me, you know. There's no question if I'm walking in, they know why I'm there.
I got to think outside photography presents a special set of challenges in terms of lighting and weather that you don't have to deal with indoors.
There's a lot of football fields that just don't have the proper lighting. And if you don't have the equipment like I have, I'm not sure what you're getting. And it takes a lot of skill to know how to control the settings. There's a lot of spots in the field that are real bright, and then it goes real dim. And if the guy's running down the field, you know, football field, you're not sure, you know, if your settings might be off by just a little. Yeah. But, you know, at heart, I'm a graphics geek. I live in Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Lightroom. And most professional photographers use those softwares to edit their photos. You know, again, I'm not the type of guy, and I think a lot of people have the misnomer that, you know, I go out and take pictures and then I just upload them. Don't even edit them or do anything. And that's a lot I've learned when I was at the Telegraph. I want to mention a person's name right now. His name is Jim Bowling. He was a sports photographer there when I first joined. And when I mentioned earlier, I would just go out. I'd see him, and he would let me tag along with him. And I learned a lot from him. Learned how to crop photos, how to edit photos. And you could tell when somebody knows what they're doing when you're just looking at their photos. You know, see somebody takes a sports photo and there's just a lot of space around the image, you know, thinking, why didn't the guy crop the photo, you know? I mean, you look at my pictures, you look at Paul Bellargeon's pictures, Paul Hefker, Jim Simmons, they're all the same. We're all cropped the same. It's real tight. And that's what they want in the media.
Who else is using your pictures besides?
You know, I still get, even though, you know, I don't work for the Telegraph, I'll get a nod from them. Hey, we saw you took a picture of this. Can we use it? You know, and I'll say, yeah, go ahead.
For what? What do you get, photo credit there on that?
Yeah, they'll give me photo credit. The advantage, wanted a picture of Abrianna Garrett, who's just an outstanding soccer player for CM this year, and they needed a picture of her that I took, and so I let them have that too. And I'm trying to get into work my way outside of CM. I'm making new friends outside of CM. I've taken pictures for some kids at the middle school in Roxana, and took some pictures for Marquette basketball players. Just want to mention a guy, you know, Steve Medford. If there's one guy, a coach, you want to photograph, that's the guy.
Really?
I was at a Christmas basketball tournament, and the CM boys had just finished, and I put my camera away in my bag, and then I realized Marquette's playing right after them. And I kind of watched the first quarter, and then I realized, oh, man, what am I doing? And they get the camera back out, and I saw Greg Shashak, who you probably know also.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
And I told Shaq, I'm like, I got to get the camera back out. I'm like, Medford's all over the place. You know, he's like 5'4", maybe, and he's jumping up and down. And, you know, he's the one guy that you can get the good expression off also. And he was like, I mean, literally halfway out on the court. I got a shot of him from the sideline. They were like down at the other end, and he is literally like almost out the center court. I'm like, what are you doing? So I took that picture, and I haven't shown it to him yet, but yeah, those are the little pictures that you want to capture. You know, again, it's not all about the sports action photos. It's those photos right there that I try to separate myself from the other photographers when I'm taking pictures.
Cool. What advice do you have for somebody who's considering a career in sports photography? You've given some practical advice on how to take a pic, but what if I want to do this for a living?
Honestly, I mean, you need a good, decent camera. I brought in all the cameras I use and lenses, and, you know, it's a lot of trial and error. You know, you just got to go out and do it. But if you can find somebody like, and I've offered to anybody who wants to walk with me or talk to me, you know, I've always answered the questions. There's a lot of the young kids at CM that are taking pictures for the yearbook, and they'll come over and ask me, you know, why is my picture too dark, too bright, or whatever. You just got to stay at it. You need good software. I mean, like I said, you know, none of these guys that I mentioned, they just don't go in and just upload the photos. You know, there's a lot of editing that go in. I mean, if you go into the media room where I've been at certain events, you know, we're all lined up with our laptops, and you go behind every which one of them, and you'll see that they either got Photoshop up or Adobe Lightroom, and they're doing their editing and trying to get them out as quick as they can. You know, that was the other thing, you know. So my real job, you know, is at Boeing. So I've been there almost 40 years, and I get up at 4 a.m.
Whoa.
So when I was doing stuff with the Telegraph or Advantage, I'd be out late, and I wouldn't be getting to bed till maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, then I'd have to get up. And, yeah, that was kind of a struggle for me. So I don't have to do that anymore, but, I mean, it didn't bother me because I just love doing what I do with taking sports photography pictures. And, you know, if I didn't like it, then I just wouldn't be doing it anymore. One thing I haven't really seen a lot of, and I brought my bigger lens camera in here also, taking pictures, you know, like at baseball games, you got the typical kids swinging the bat from either side, and those are great pictures. But I like to get out to the center field area and shoot directly at them, so I'm looking like right at them, you know, and getting the swing that way. And I don't see too many local photographers in the area taking that type of picture. So again, I, you know, to me, photography is like a sport in itself. I'm always trying to outdo my own self each time I go out, you know, trying to capture that photo that nobody else has ever seen before. you know, a lot of pictures look alike amongst all of us photographers. Like I said, you know, a kid shooting a shot, kid making a layup, a golfer hitting out a sand trap, a kid jumping up for a soccer ball like the goalie. But, you know, again, you got to really mix in not just the action photos. You want to get the other people involved, like I said, the cheerleaders, people up in the stands, people sitting on the bench, and the coaches. That's the other thing, too. You know, you got to get the picture of the coaches. So I've got this fisheye lens that I brought in also to show you. You know, that's the lens I use when I go behind the bench, you know, to get that wide angle shot of the coach. And those are the ones that pay off, too.
What other? How many cameras do you have here? How many cameras did you bring in tonight?
I've got three camera bodies. The ones I brought in, I've got two that are mirrorless that I just purchased. They're Nikon Z6II cameras. And then I have my Nikon D500, which is a DSLR camera. And I try not to take any of these lenses off my camera just so that I don't have to deal with, like, dust or anything getting into the camera. So I never try to touch them for any reason. They just go with me wherever I go. You know, and that's the other thing, too, preparation. I'll mention that, preparation. For any of you young photographers, you know, you've got to, one, make sure your batteries are charged. Make sure that you've got a memory card in your camera. You won't believe how many times I've shown up at events and I'll see some of these amateur photographers and they'll say, you know, it'd be like halfway through a game and I see them standing there and they're like, well, you know, I ask them what's going on and like, well, my battery just died. Or they'll get there and they'll start shooting pictures and the guy's like, no, I left my memory card to my computer at home. You know, so, you know, and being on time, too, I know, I think Paul Balarjan mentioned that, too. And, you know, I'm always a stickler for getting to wherever I'm at, you know, early, because I want to survey, you know, what's going on at the field or what kind of lighting I got to deal with. You know, I take some sample pictures and just to see, because not every Wood River, sad to say, and I don't want to ruin it for any Wood River fans, but the gym is very poor in that gym. And
the lighting's very poor.
Yeah, the lighting is very poor.
Maybe not for the players, but for photography.
Yes, correct. And I think they'll admit to that also. And it's just a challenge for some people to get a good shot in that gym. Then there's a lot of other good gyms that have great lighting. Again... shooting track also, you know, you want to get down low. You want to get that kid jumping over the hurdle. You know, it's nice you can get a shot if he's dead straight on, but when you can see his cleats coming off, you know, over that hurdle, that's the shot you want right there. That's the money shot right there. So there's angles is very key with, for me, trying to get an important shot. And if that's any good advice, that's probably the most important advice I can give to anybody right now.
Ice hockey?
Oh, my God.
Doing a little bit of that?
Oh, geez. Yeah, let's talk about ice hockey. So,
all right.
First time, I had never shot ice hockey, so I went down to East Dalton Ice Rink. Same thing, you know, I just showed up and didn't know what I was doing. I'm going to use the word suck because I sucked. I was shooting with the light because I'm thinking, you know, I need some light on these guys because it was kind of dark there at East Dalton Ice Rink, too.
So you're out there running around the ice trying to track them down?
Actually, you know, they got a lift there at the East Dalton Ice Rink where you can get up and it goes over the wall there, the glass wall there. And so I'm shooting down on them. And I have this long monopod on my camera and I'm looking at all my pictures, and they're all yellow. The ice is, like, yellow and brown. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know what I'm doing. So
maybe it was the ice.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was the ice. But I studied it. I researched. I asked questions and realized I can't shoot with a flash. You know, I had to learn how to control my camera better. And after about, I don't know, sixth time after I went back, I adjusted and I knew what I was doing. I mean, I was just horrible. you know, I really was. I just didn't want to show anybody my pictures. You know, they're all like, oh, can we see your pictures? I'm like, no, not really, you know. So, but, yeah, I've gone back since then, and, like, in the past year, and I've shot a game or two, and it's a lot different because you got to shoot through the glass. So if you're down below, or like I said, you can get in that lift and shoot down, but you got to be kind of careful too because, you know, some of those pucks will come off of the ice and could hit you.
Sounds tough. Is it the toughest?
The toughest sport to shoot? I don't know if it's tough, but it's so quick is volleyball. Mm. And if you don't have a camera that can shoot real fast, you're not going to get anything. And I usually, like I said, I sit on my little chair, and I'm usually in between near the net shooting those pictures, and I'm getting kids, like, hitting the ball down off the floor or almost off the floor and or spiking the ball. And, you know, what I learned with volleyball, too, you don't want to look at – I mean, you can get pictures of the kid serving the ball, but the best shot is don't even look at them. Just look towards where they're hitting it to. And you got to almost guess who they're going to hit it to. And hopefully your camera's in the right position and just reel off, you know. My camera shoots almost 14 images a second. So, yeah, I'm getting a lot of pictures. Typically for any game, I'm shooting at least 1,000 to 1,500 pictures a game with these cameras that I use. And I bring them into my software and start going through them and picking out the ones that I want. And I've sold a lot of pictures. I create collages from the pictures. I did one for Allie Treckler. Her mom asked me if I could do one for her, and I did. And I do just anything you can put in digital print. Like I said, I'm a web geek, a media geek at heart. I just love taking a picture and doing something else with it than just, you know, showing the original like I took it.
Dan Cruz, if people want to see your work or contact you, they can find you on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, all of it?
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Everybody loves the Metro Esports podcast, but do you know what everybody hates? Waiting in line at the DMV, and now you don't have to. Go see the state-certified experts at Rosenthal License Service for all your licensing needs, including title work for cars, trucks, motorcycles, ATVs, boats, campers, RVs, and trailers. Located in Edwardsville in the Montclair Shopping Plaza, right across from the DMV, genius location, Rosenthal is a local family-owned business that has been serving the Metro East for more than 80 years with fast, friendly service. And they can help you if you need a money order or a notary public. So the next time you need to renew your sticker, save time with a quick and easy visit to my friends Francis and John at Rosenthal License Service, or give them a call at 656-6163. Okay, up next to talk Charitable Champion by Front Office Fiduciary Network, Julie Fleck. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. So once a month, we recognize a charitable champion, a local athlete who epitomizes the qualities of academic and athletic excellence, leadership, compassion, and team spirit. Coaches, teachers, and administrators can nominate a student athlete. They do so by clicking the Charitable Champion link on our website, www.yourfrontoffice.com.
There you go. And this month, our charitable champion is from Civic Memorial High School in Bethalto, and her name is Claire Christensen. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
And you are a three-sport athlete. You play volleyball, soccer, and basketball at CM. How do you have time to do all that stuff?
It's a struggle, I'm not going to lie.
You're busy.
I'm always busy.
Oh, and that keeps you out of trouble for the most part, right?
Always.
Okay, and she was recommended by athletic director Todd Hannaford.
Correct.
What did Mr. Hannaford say about this young lady?
Well, he said a lot of great things. Claire has excelled at a high level on the court or field in each sport. She has an excellent heart of leadership. Her talents speak for herself. She is a competitor at the highest level. She is a role model for her teammates, those her own age, and to the younger players on the team. She performs at a high level, often receiving all conference recognitions. She is very coachable and very well respected by her coaches.
And she played on a historic, on an historic basketball team this last year, which reached eight for the first time in CM history. What will you remember from that season?
I will always remember, for me, my senior night, getting to play with my girls last time and going to state, getting on the court just to be with them. And then always, like, our locker room talks and, like, us getting hype up for the game. Those are always going to be my memory.
What's it like playing for Coach Arb? He seems like a pretty laid-back dude. He's getting you hype in the locker room?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's always giving us his speeches, but being with the girls mostly just gets us all in a good mood, ready for the game.
And Hannaford nominated you partly because he says you're a great leader. Is that something that you take seriously, or is it just natural, or do you have to work at it?
I feel like I naturally get it just from my dad. I feel like he is a leader and a role model to a lot of people, and I guess I just get it from him.
Cool. What are you going to do next year?
I'm going to UMSL to work on my education and play basketball.
You are going to play basketball. So with Tori Sanifer?
Yes, I am.
So there'll be two Eagles on that team.
Yes, there will be.
Okay. All right. So part of the charitable champion means you get to donate $500, or actually Front Office Fiduciary Network donates $500 to the charity of your choice in your name. Julie, do you have in front of you the charity to which she, do you know?
Yeah.
What was the charity?
I did the JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Awesome. And why did you pick them?
My brother and sister are both type 1 diabetic.
No kidding.
And I know that is a struggle for some families. And I'm just very grateful that my family has been able to, like, afford it and support my sister and brother throughout it all.
Fantastic. Fantastic choice of charity on your part. Good for you. I can see what Mr. Hannaford sees in you. And so what are you going to miss next year when you're at UMSL? You're going to be on to doing great things there. But what are you going to miss about Civic Memorial High School?
I'm really going to miss this, like, just playing all the sports at once. And honestly, the teachers. I think most of the teachers at CM have made a big impact in my life.
And right now you are right in the middle of a soccer season.
Yeah, I am.
Are you having fun?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's fun cheering on my teammates.
What position do you play in soccer?
I was a defender.
Okay. Are you still a defender?
You could say that if you wanted to.
Are you going
to
miss soccer and volleyball next year when you're playing hoops at UMSL?
Oh, of course. I've been playing those sports ever since I was a little girl.
I feel like, have you played all these sports with all the same girls? Like have you played with Kelby? Have you played basketball with Kelby, like, pre-high school even?
Oh, yeah, like, since third grade.
So, wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though, too. Mm-hmm. And then at what age did you guys look around and say, you know what, we're pretty good? Do you remember?
I feel like 7th grade, 8th grade, we were, like, all in our locker room. We were just like, you know what, we're pretty good for, like, how young we are. And then, like, getting up to high school, we were like, you know what, we're actually, like, really good for where we're at.
Yeah, good for you. Well, you know what, the Eagles have certainly built an outstanding women's basketball program there, and you've left your mark on it for sure. What else can we say about this girl? She's a great, great leader in the classroom.
Absolutely. All of her teachers say she's very highly respected, has an excellent relationship with all of the teachers in the classroom. The other words that best describe her are tenacious, respected, loving, leader, and very positive.
Good for you. Where do you get these qualities?
I don't really know, to be honest.
You've always just been a good kid?
I feel like for most of the part, I was a good kid.
Okay, so your teachers like you for the most part?
Yeah, most part.
For the most part?
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject? What do you want to study next year? You said educate, like, are you going to study education, or you're going to continue your education?
I'm going to early education, like elementary education.
You're going to be a teacher?
Yes, I do.
You're going to be a coach?
Maybe sometime in the future.
Okay, good for you, but you want to teach little kids?
I do, yeah, I love little kids.
Early, like K through 2 or 3 through 6?
3 through 6.
Good for you. You'll be a great teacher.
I hope so.
What do you think it takes to be a good teacher?
I think they have to have, like, hard work and patience. Like, they have to be, like, hardworking and have patience, because, like, I know kids can be a lot, because, like, I have a brother and I don't know how my parents do him. Like, it's just stressful.
All right. Well, you've been a great charitable champion so far. So, Julie, say again, how can athletic directors or teachers or coaches or neighbors, if there's a young person out there like Claire Christensen that personifies or epitomizes leadership and positivity in the classroom and in the community and on the field, how can they nominate their favorite athlete in the local area?
It is actually very super easy. All they have to do is click on the charitable champion link on our website, www.yourfrontoffice.com.
Okay, it's all right there. And it's just a few simple lines to nominate a charitable champion. And then they get to come in the studio and record a podcast, which is totally fun. Claire's having a great time, she'll tell you right now. And best part, they get to donate $500 to the charity of their choice. And I think that's probably my favorite part of this, is that these kids get to give to something, and that's pretty cool. So good on Chad, Opal, and everybody at Front Office Fiduciary Network for sponsoring this program once a month. When's the next game?
We had a soccer game today. We did take the loss 3-2 against Marquette. We played tomorrow. Pretty sure against Triad.
Is it tough for you to go from sport to sport to sport?
No, I've kind of always had that mindset to like want to be better. And my parents have always pushed me, being like, if this is what you want in life, you got to work hard for it. So
in your next year, you don't think you're going to miss those other sports. You're going to be, you don't think you're going to get burned out on basketball. You're going to be able to focus just on basketball, and that's going to be different.
I don't think I'll get burned out of it, just because I've been out this for 9 months, and I've taken it so much for granted, and I don't think I could ever get burned out from basketball.
Cool. All right, Julie, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
From Front Office, and Claire Christensen from CM High School. You guys, congratulations.
Thank you.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Honored tonight, guest number 3, our first guest from Madison High School, Coach Tavares Young. But first, I got to thank partner Cassens Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, the number one place to purchase a vehicle in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person, where they've been for 25 years, or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there, and I won't buy a car anyplace else. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today. And before we get to Coach Young, I got to mention Andy Callaway of Callaway Home Loans, because he saves me money every month. And it'll save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are low, and you want to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional FHA and VA loans. And ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he'll donate $100 to the Metro East High School or Junior High team of your choice. He'll give $100 to Civic Memorial Basketball. He'll give $100 to the Madison High School boys track team. It's up to you. Give Andy a call today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East. Welcome to the show, Coach Tavares Young.
Thanks for having me.
How's Madison High School?
It's good.
Is it?
It's good.
And you are the head boys track coach.
Yes.
You are going to be the head football coach.
Yes.
In the fall. Mm-hmm. And you are currently on the staff for the basketball squad there.
Yes.
At Madison, boys basketball.
Boys basketball.
You're a busy guy.
Yes, I have been. I'm in my 12th year coaching at Madison School District.
And you are from Madison.
From 1994 graduate.
You bleed green.
All the time.
Love it.
Yes, sir.
What did you play in high school?
Football, basketball, and track.
Okay, cool.
And cross country 1 year. Going to my senior year, they canceled the football program. I was on the last football program at Madison until we co-op with Metro East Lutheran in 2015-16 school year. So I was on the last staff, the last team that Madison had for over 20-plus years, and ended up being lucky to be on the first staff when Madison brought football back what was that, 2015, so 20 plus years.
You are one of the legends of Madison football.
Yeah, I've been around. I coached junior high basketball for, say, 10 years, two state championships, junior high school, 2015 and 18. I was also the boys and girls junior high track coach prior to being the high school coach. And our girls track team finished second in 2013, finished fourth in 2014, and we won a state championship in 2015.
Wow. Yeah, you guys are bringing home plenty of hardware, it seems like, in basketball and track. Mm-hmm. That things are going well athletically in Madison right now. What about, let's talk about the current track season. How is that going for you?
Track season is going pretty good. I'm excited. Still a very young team, but very talented. We have one senior on the roster, three juniors, the rest freshman, sophomore. But with that young talent, we have two of our three relays that we run are ranked in the top five in the state. Wow. We have the top-ranked 4x100-meter relay team. We have the third-ranked 4x400 relay team. And if we didn't have a mishap in the relay in the 4x2 this past Saturday at East Alden Wood River, we'd be top three in that as well. Mm. I have a sophomore. His name is DeByron Boyd. He's ranked number two in Class 1A, Illinois, 200 meters. He's just outside the top 10 in 100 meters. I have a freshman named Alex Kennedy. He's the top-ranked 400-meter runner in the state of Illinois. He's ranked fifth in the 400 meters. Carlos Wilson, who's a junior, he's ranked seventh in the 400 meters.
What's the secret? How are you able to produce all these good runners? What's going on?
Just good talent. They make a coach look good, but there are challenges. Of course, we don't have a track to practice on right now.
Aren't you getting a new one?
Getting a brand new track.
I saw that on social media.
Yes, sir.
How excited are you for that?
I've been advocating for it for over 10-plus years because it just caused prior to this year, that cinder track has never been rescinded for almost 30 years. Wow. I was the last runner of this Madison legend track coach, Charles Steptoe. Charles Steptoe was the head coach at Madison for track and field from 1969 to 1994.
Wow.
And I was his last official track athlete. And when I made the state in the 4x100 and the 400 meters my senior year, and I got injured towards the end, so I didn't make the finals, but I was able to make it. But
Say the coach's name again.
Charles Steptoe. Mr. Charles Steptoe. And it's kind of an honor because he produced Madison track was pretty good in the late 70s. They finished second in 1978, fourth in 79, third in 88. I started going to track meets at Madison.
How do you remember all this, man?
I have a good long-term memory. They call me historian. They call me the Madison historian. That's my nickname.
The master historian.
Madison.
The Madison historian.
But I follow Illinois sports, whether it's football, basketball, track and field. Not baseball too much because I'm not a baseball guy, but my introductory to Madison sports, to me, was great because in 1981 was the first year that my parents started taking me to athletic activities in Madison. And luckily in 1981, I got to see some of the guys that I idled. And Madison won their last team state championship, Coach Larry Graham, 1981. So I can still remember being in Assembly Hall in 1981, 5 years old. So I was born into greatness at Madison. So from on there, 1983 was my first time going to a track meet. I had a brother to run track. I had older cousins. We have a pretty big family in Madison, a lot of my father, my uncles, cousins. And then with me growing up, the youngest of four boys, I grew up in the early 80s. You can say I was in high school, even though I was in elementary, because all my brother's friends was over. So I was entrenched in Madison sports lore for over 40 years. So I've been pretty much into it.
When are you going to run for mayor?
Nah, I don't want that.
And you're working at Madison High School, so you're seeing these young men all day, every day, mm-hmm. and you're helping them and you're mentoring them. How much does it help you to have a kid run track and then say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a football coach in the fall. You need to come.
I have a good relationship with most of the kids. I have a good relationship. You know, I'm a player's coach. And I always try to have the best interest for that student athlete first. So it's going to be tremendous. Being able to have a quality field to practice on, quality track to practice on.
Is it going
to
be a new football field too?
Turf.
Turf?
Field turf and all-weather track, yes, sir.
How excited are you for that turf?
I'm too excited. It's beautiful. Can't wait till it's done.
Kids excited.
Oh, yeah.
They feel the energy.
And I believe we're with that. Hopefully we can bring more, because we have so many kids that may have transferred out. The biggest problem I've had, because I told you I've been a middle school coach as well, and the big problem we've had is keeping all of our kids together. Example, our 2018 state championship, when I coached the eighth grade boys to the two-way state championship in Illinois, I had this five starting five this past year. They're seniors. We only had two starters. Two starters from that time, from that team. And out of that team, we may have lost seven kids. So keeping a transition of from junior high in the high school building has been a challenge. But hopefully we can kind of work and get that back together where we're keeping most of our kids that we're coaching at home.
All right, I want to hear about some football stuff. But first, I got to talk about Oak Brook Golf Club. Located northeast of Edwardsville, Oak Brook Golf Club is a family-owned 27-hole public golf facility, and their goal is to offer the highest quality golf experience for a reasonable fee. Oak Brook is consistently recognized for awards such as Friendliest Staff, Best Course to Host a Fundraiser, and Best Senior Scramble in the Bi-State Area. From fundraisers to leagues to instruction to an afternoon out on the links by yourself, the Brook wants to win your business. I've personally played and hosted multiple golf scrambles there, and I can attest Mike Surrey and his staff are the best. To book your tee time or to start organizing your next fundraising scramble, give them a call at 656-5600 or check them out online at oakbrookgc.com. Let's talk football.
Yes, sir.
What are we going to see from the Trojans in the fall?
I think we should. We will stay healthy and keep it most of the kids we have and have some more kids come back out. Hopefully we get to another win the season. We struggled the past three seasons with turnover. Madison, when we got our first program back, Coach Michael Hill was the head coach, legendary running back from East St. Louis Lincoln and went to Tennessee State. They made the playoff both years. In the second year, they finished the regular season 8-1. Unfortunately, they lost the home playoff game. And after that, we had a lot of seniors on that team. Plus, we had a few transfers that transferred out. And but luckily I got on the staff after that. I was with assistant coach for 1 year, and then the past two seasons I've been offensive coordinator. But we just was young. The numbers weren't as much as we needed to be. We had like smaller senior class for those couple years. So it was a transition. Last year, 2021 school year, we had a spring football. So that was from 2019 fall to a week before the season started, we had no football World Cup. It was COVID in there. So I was on the basketball team. The majority of our guys play basketball. So after our last game against your alma mater, Granite City High School.
There you go.
We had 9 days to prepare for a 4A school in Freeburg. And it was just.
You played Freeburg?
We played Freeburg.
That's a pretty big school for you to play for your. Because you're 2A, right? Are you 1A?
We're 1A. Oof. But what happened during the spring season, they shortened the region up where you can play. So those six games in that fall, that spring of 2020, we played Freeburg, played Redbud, we played Carlisle, Westland, DuPont. Who was the other one? It was six games. Oh, Nokomis. And Nokomis went undefeated that year. So we've had a pretty good, tough schedule.
Yeah.
So going to 2021, fall season was the first year we had an off season. Because the first year we got on staff, the staff got on late. They hired the head coach a week before the season started, so we didn't get any summer workout. Last year was kind of transition year, but we started the past two seasons, three freshmen on the offensive line. So the spring of 2001, the summer of the freshmen we started with skilled guys. So we came to the fall of 2021, some of the skilled guys that played the line went to skill. And then we started one senior, one sophomore, three freshmen. All in all, we probably started six or seven freshmen on the O-line during a year. So with a year of body maturation, getting bigger, hopefully getting stronger in the weight room. We also had this past fall eight juniors that was on the spring football decided not to come out in the fall. But I've been talking to a lot of them, and that was a program killer because we had two juniors on the football team, six seniors, the rest freshman sophomore. So we were pretty young, but we were talented.
How many kids total did you have?
This past season was our best. We was hovering between 25 and 30. But we have a lot of freshmen coming in. But the good thing about some of the freshmen that's coming in, they shouldn't be counted on to play that many varsity minutes as the past two. We have experience at every position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive line, linebacker, secondary. So this is the first time we're going to have a good staff, a good core of players that has experience. And just getting them to buy in, stand patient with them. Still got to get that schedule straightened out because we still play Granite City, Carterville, who was a pretty good 4A school, and the Jonesboro, Tremont, who's a pretty decent 2A school. So our schedule is still stacked.
It seems like it's going to be tough for you to make the playoffs if you're playing all 4A schools.
It's going
because
to be
if
tough.
If 1A is going to look at your number of wins, mm-hmm. they almost need to compare your wins to other 1A schools.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of stuck because what 1A schools are around here.
That's the biggest problem.
Metro East Lutheran plays eight man.
Yeah.
They're not even IHSA, right?
Mm-hmm. There's IHSA, but they can't make the regular.
Okay.
I heard they was talking about building something for 8A. And that's what hurt us, too, because some of the first two seasons we had massive football back, Metro East went eight man. I believe Bunker Hill went eight man. We played Pawnee. They went eight man. We even went up to 2019, the first game when I was on the staff, Hiawatha High School, which is outside of Rockford. They went eight-man.
Wow.
So it's been tough. Even I talked to one of my old coaches, Mark Giles, and he said the same thing when I was in school. Like, we struggled near the end of that program, but with we are located in the Metro East, there just was not many schools our size. So we were still playing Breeze Central, who was bigger than us,
yeah.
Waterloo, Columbia. And I asked him about a year ago, he said, yes, we tried to reach out, but we couldn't get some of the schools to play us.
Right.
So it's still kind of a transition of getting schools that are our size to play.
How do you coach and organize an offense in with that few kids and that much turnover? Do you wind up playing a certain kind of offense most years?
Yeah, it's difficult, especially this past year, because you have a lot more freshmen that you need. And sometimes the freshmen don't give you a good look you need when you're doing scout team. So it's been different. Sometimes we had to go half field and just go over different things like that. But it's been challenging. Hopefully in the future we get a little bit more coaches on our coaching staff. They've kind of helped me get a few more coaches. And just having good experience. I mean, if we can get a good solid 30, I think it'll help out a lot. But we got a nice at least 20 kids returning.
How many of your kids are playing three sports? How many of your kids are playing all three with you?
Carlos is one. Darion Enlo, he's going to probably be the quarterback. He's a pretty good junior basketball player. I would say about 12 to 14,
wow.
Which is good. Yeah.
And do you think it's helping them playing three sports?
Yes, I always advocate be an athlete. Because one thing that we live in a society now where so many coaches, so many different organizations try to say, okay, specialize, just play basketball or just be a football player. And I feel like you should never hold a kid back. You never know what the type of ability or what type of
You never know whether potential. You never know how they're going to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I think sometimes kids don't really know what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of kids will look at their friends and play what their friends play. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. What's that new track and that new field going to mean to your program? Tough to tell right now, but.
The track is going to be tremendous. Like now, we've only had one outdoor track practice. That was at Granite City a week and a half ago. We just happened to go out. Their school was out. And we didn't get to do
it. So what are you doing if you can't
We've done – most stuff we've done has been indoor. We know track has changed so much now, whereas indoor season lasts from February. You can have a meet February 1st, And we ran into indoor, where the unofficial indoor state meet was in Bloomington at Illinois Western University. So a lot of stuff we've been doing, we still could do different stuff. We just challenging. We do a lot of running. We do a lot of sprinting. Madison, we're a sprint school. We don't, very often do we have athletes that runs like distance. I had one that finished fourth in the state in 2018. He had a good article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. His name was Javon Watkins. Unfortunately, he committed suicide and just tore my heart out in November.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
He finished the only Madison athlete to ever qualify in a 2 mile in a mile. He finished fourth indoor and outdoor 2018. He finished ninth in a mile. It was a kid that won the hardest worker I ever coached. I mean, he didn't have to be self-motivated. He ended up going to Hyler Community College of Kansas. He competed 2 years. And then he was supposed to go to Eastern Illinois last year, but he had to find out he was having a baby on the way. And he was, if you read the article, Javon Watkins, anybody want to see it, it's from May of 2018. It was a marvelous article written by the Post-Dispatch Dave Cadeville, the guy at the state track meet, the announcer. He told everybody about Javon's story, and, like, I mean, it was tremendous, but I didn't see it coming, nigga. Saying it still.
I'm really sorry.
I think about him daily.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. That's probably been the toughest thing that you've had to deal with during your tenure as a coach.
By far. Yeah.
Well, what's good? What's good at Madison High School besides that new track and besides that new football field? You feel like the kids are vibing in the right direction and things are positive. Yeah. Seems like you've had a lot of success, basketball and track and all sorts of things. How about the school enrollment? Is it increasing, decreasing, or staying pretty much
about
the same?
Steady. When I went to Madison High School, I believe we had close to 300 students, 320, 340. Now it's about 155.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
5, 1, 6.
155 kids total at your entire school. Total. And you're still going to get 30 kids out for football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have kids that throw? Do you have throwers on your track team?
I was just talking to my assistant coach. I was proud of one of my sophomores. He throws the discus, and he's already thrown almost 15 to 20 feet further than he did as a freshman. And one thing that I have a Facebook page, Madison Alumni Track and Field page. And one thing that struck me after he threw a PR Saturday by 3 feet. And then as the meet going on, we over there watching the meet, and I look over my corner. His name is Elijah Franklin. Good kid. I see him over there throwing by himself. Nobody's around. He still just wants to get better. And those are the type of things that you enjoy as a coach. I don't have to tell you to go keep working. I mean, he could have been watching somebody else run in the stands playing with one of his friends. But, no, he's over there by himself doing the track meet, still throwing after he threw.
Awesome. Yeah, I was at the freshman-sophomore meet 2 weeks ago at Edwardsville.
Last Tuesday.
Yeah, and watched a couple of your sprinters do really really well in a couple of the races. So I knew that you were doing good things. And so really honored to have you on the show as our first guest from Madison High School, but not our last. We got to keep the connection going on. Anything else you want to say to the folks about Madison High School and what's going on there right now?
Just a lot of good kids that want to get better. One thing I can say about most of our kids, that's especially the sports athletes, they're good kids. We have sometimes, just in the other school, you have problems, but I really enjoy because we have some really down-to-earth good kids that want to get better, that wants a future, whether it's going to school or trade, whatever. We have some good kids at Madison.
Are you getting a few kids moving on? Are you getting a lot of kids moving on and playing sports or going to school?
We have a few that's still looking for schools, a couple of football players, a few basketball. One of our basketball players just signed with Greenville University last week. He led us in scoring, Eric Hurst Jr. But I'm looking forward to the future. Like I say, I think we have so much talent coming out. You asked a question back about the track. It's been many years that if it rained for 5 minutes, there's no track practice outside because it was flooded. And it would sometimes be muddy. Sometimes trucks would be on the track. And we got to, and if it dries up, we have to wash the track the eggs on the track. So it was never ideal. And I think it's going to get more kids out as well. I think more kids are going to see that field when it's done. It's going to be one of the most beautiful facilities
around. That's awesome.
And I think it's going to help elevate, I think, all of our sports. We only have three sports, basketball, football, and track. We had baseball for a few years. A lot of our kids, just with the Cory League not being what it was. We had one group of kids that came out of 2018, and they had played baseball from 6 years old and up, but it wasn't as – we didn't get as much kids out for baseball, so that's kind of falling off by the wayside a little bit.
Three boy sports, three girl sports?
Yeah, three boys. We have volleyball, basketball, track.
Very good. Okay. Well, Coach Tavares Young, Madison track, basketball, and head football coach.
Yes,
head
sir.
Football, head track coach, mm-hmm. associate basketball coach.
Yes,
you got to come back in the fall. Come back preseason for the boys football program. Bring okay. somebody.
Maybe the sectionals, too.
Maybe the sectionals.
We 2017, we won the sectionals for the first time since I was a sophomore, 1992. And I know, man, you talked about media coverage from when we were growing
yeah.
up. We never got covered. We won again in 2018. We were back-to-back sectional champs for the first time since I ran, and we got no coverage. I mean, the Post didn't cover, the Bellevue didn't send anyone, and we don't have the local Granite City record.
Press sold. Record.
Yeah, and I like to do stuff for my kids, you know, let them know that they're doing something worthwhile.
The Metro Esports Podcast is here for your kids.
Yes, sir.
You win the sectional, you're coming back.
All righty.
How about that?
How about that? I'll be ready for it.
Big thanks to guests Dan Cruz, Claire Christensen, Julie Fleck, Coach Tavares Young, and for partners Cassens, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Front Office Fiduciary Network, Oakbrook Golf Club, and Rosenthal License and Title Services. Our engineers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, thank you for listening to the Metro Esports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.